my beard.
It's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard.
You know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, 'cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and joining me for the last time this year, it's...
JD.
It's been fucking happening, brother.
Not a lot. Preparing for Christmas. Doing the usual shiz.
Isn't it what? Fucking last show for the year, brother. Can you believe it? 1 year fucking down.
One to go? No, I'm kidding. No, it's been a good year, eh?
It has been a good year. It's been a fucking crazy fucking year, I know that much.
Oh my God. I've never been so busy in 1 year of my life, to be honest. Between work, home, and the podcast, holy shit.
Oh, yes. Now, this last episode that we're going to do, it's going to be a little bit different from our normal episodes. I'm going to slot in the last booze review that we have on file, just for shits and kicks, because everything changes next year, which we'll get into fucking a little bit later.
Yes.
But before that, listen, a fucking author by the name of RJ Broussel, I think that's how you fucking pronounce his name. Or their name, I should say. Hang on, I'm going to do that again.
You can't, because they've got music playing in the background.
I can't, yeah, because they've got music playing in the background. Fuck it.
You're going to read it a whole lot?
Yeah, no, I do.
Oh, shit. See, that's the problem with fucking having music in the background.
It can be,
yeah. No problem, my record.
Pursue. Alright, fuck it, we'll try it again.
It's looking tight. Get up close.
That's a bit loud.
You and my beard are gonna have a really
good
nice
time.
My beard. It's
my beard.
It's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard.
You know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, 'cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day, and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and joining me for the last time this year, it's...
JD.
It's been fucking happening, brother.
Not a lot. Doing the whole Christmas thing. Shit's getting hectic.
Oh, fucking, I love this time of year because it's Christmas and yay, but fuck me, it's stressful.
Fuck, it's really easy to get into the Grinch, isn't it? Holy shit.
Oh, yes.
Becoming an adult sucks.
It does, doesn't it? Kids, never grow the fuck up.
Fuck it, Peter Pan it.
At least I try not to grow up anyway.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, like I said just before, it's the last show for the year. We're not going to fucking, going to take a bit of time off. We've got a lot of stuff we've got to try and work on before the start of the new year, and it's going to take some time. So we're going to do something a little bit different this week. We're not going to really discuss any new and exciting stories. We're just going to sort of have a bit of a look back over the year that's been. But before we do that, I have got a booze review that we recorded shit 3-4 months ago now.
Yeah, probably about that.
I'm going to fucking clear the chamber because all our booze reviews and shit are going to change as of the new year, which we'll get into a little bit.
Well, we'll keep the old ones.
Yeah, we're still going to keep the old ones up. The ratings are still going to stand as it is. It's just we're going to get a little bit more in depth.
Yes.
I think it is with how we rate them and how we review them. So, but just before I fucking slot that in, brother, I had a couple of authors reach out to me this week. A father and son team by the name of RJ Broussel. I'm really hoping I'm saying that right. If I'm not, fellas, I am so sorry, but I'm shocking for names. So they've written their first book called Battle for Honor Gates, which is basically your sort of stock standard. Well, it comes across as a stock standard, sword and sorcery sort of fantasy type novel.
Yep.
Holy fuck, brother! I loved this goddamn book. Hey,
did ya?
I really fucking did. Like, I'm a fan of me fantasy novels to start with. Like, not your stupid fucking Twilight and vampire-ity fuck, like your proper just swords and sorcerers and fucking wizards and fucking clerics and fucking,
and
elves and gnomes and, yeah, like your Tolkien sort of shit. I am a massive fan on, you know what I mean? And, look, the thing I really love about this book is it has a very interesting fucking take on it. Right? So, I do have to say this. It is very easy to read. It's probably one of the easiest fucking books that I've read in a long time, especially considering this is their very first novel.
Yep.
It normally takes, you know, a novel or two, especially, you know, the world we live in now where, you know, indie authors are fucking everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
With the advent of, you know, fucking ebooks and friggin' Amazon and fucking Kobo and shit like that.
Yep.
Anybody can be an author now. You can self-publish without the cost of actually fucking publishing books, which is, you know, fucking really, really good and really, really exciting. I've actually found a couple of fucking authors this year that I absolutely love.
Nice.
And but the thing you find is it normally takes a book or two for them to really sort of start hitting their fucking stride.
Yeah.
Not so the case with these fellas. Like, you can tell that they really love this genre.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of fucking love, care, and attention that they've fucking put into the world that they've built. Now, the thing I really dug about this is it really feels like a Forgotten Realms novel.
Mm.
Okay, so Forgotten Realms is, you ever played Icewind Dale?
No.
Baldur's Gate?
Nah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, it's set more in that sort of world rather than, you know, Middle Earth.
Well,
if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
Because they are different. Like they're very drastically different. Like Tolkien sort of created the genre and created the sort of basis that they work on, but a fellow by the name of Ed Greenwood really sort of fucking brought probably the most popular, you know, Dungeons and Dragons sort of fucking world to life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some of my favorite, like his Elminster series is absolutely brilliant. And R.A. Salvatore's Legends of Drizzt is my favorite series of fucking books, bar none. You know what I mean? And this feels like it could have been written in that same world, just in the far future, if that makes sense.
Cool.
Because, like I said, their take is very fucking different. So they've set it in a world they call Agora, and the book itself takes place 3,000 years after what they call the Third Great War. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's got all your standard sort of fantasy tropes. So, you know, you've got your elves and your dwarves and your halflings and your gnomes and your fucking humans and, well, they call them Amazons, but they're your basic sort of barbarian race.
Yep.
If you will, and you got your clerics and your sorcerers and your fighters and all that sort of shit, you know, standard. But the take they've done on them is really fucking very different. You know what I mean? So like, a good example is the elves of this world that they've built. You know, traditionally elves and these sort of worlds and these sort of fucking backgrounds are, you know, rare and fucking, you know, they're sort of on the fucking downswing of their fucking races, you know, history and shit, and they're generally sort of hard to find and stick to themselves. So with this world, their main fucking antagonist and the main fucking evil race, if you will, are elves.
And that's different, because they're usually depicted as very sophisticated and peaceful kind of people.
Yeah, so like the main sort of bad race is what they call the pure blood elves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's sort of, you find out that they've been corrupted and all this sort of shit, but like they're the most numerous fucking race on this world.
Yeah.
And they're the fucking evil cunts in it, which I really fucking dug, you know what I mean? Also liked what they did with the orcs, you know what I mean? Because the orcs are traditionally your fucking dopey fucking...
Yeah, big...
outright fucking evil fucking brutes.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, you know, they've got their own fucking country, so to speak. They've got their own society. They've got their own kingdom. They've got their own hierarchy. They're not, you know, your typical fucking...
Ox smash.
You know what I mean? Like, that juxtaposition between those two races in particular is really stark, and it's really fucking interesting, you know what I mean? Like, and once again, it fits in with this whole Forgotten Realms fucking sort of thing that they sort of went with, feel that they went with, because in R.A. Salvatore's last couple books, you know, the orcs had just started to fucking evolve to this sort of state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, And like I said, each of the major races are represented, but they're fucking so different, you know what I mean? With this spin, you know, like the examples I just pointed out, they're so fucking interesting. It's so fucking fun to fucking read. It reads really good. Now, as the fucking story itself, without giving fucking too much away, you're sort of focused around a couple of main people. The main sort of character, if you will, is a paladin by the name of Marcus, who seems to have been brought back from the dead by these guardians. You know, not the gods, but the guardians, who are sort of like the guardians of the balance.
Yep.
And it's all sort of based around his battle, because he wakes up, he doesn't know who he is or where he's from, and he's, you know, he's stronger and harder and fucking able to wield this incredible fucking magic for, you know, seeming reasons that only get revealed later on through the novel. You know what I mean? And it's the elves end up going to war with the dwarven race, you know, try to commit genocide.
Yeah.
Because the dwarves seem to be, I think, the oldest race in the world. At least that's the impression I fucking got. So, you know, it all ends up with this massive, epic, fucking sweeping sort of fucking battle that doesn't end the way you traditionally think it would end. Which is, like I said, another thing I absolutely love about this fucking novel. You know what I mean? And it's set itself up for multiple books in this series, which I'm certainly hoping I don't have to wait too long to fucking get to, because I did, man. I absolutely love this fucking book. It is absolutely fucking fantastic. You know what I mean? You've really got to get down and fucking read it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
well, I managed to pull the ebook off.
Yeah, well, they sent us a promo copy. Yeah. It's just I've read it and you haven't got around to it yet. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's an absolutely fucking marvelous book. You know what I mean? And like I said, it's a father and son team who've written the book. You know what I mean? You can tell, like I said, that they absolutely love the world that they're fucking writing in. They've got some serious skill. Their writing is very easy to read. It flows fucking magnificently. And, you know, even the way they name shit, like it's gives it a hint of fucking realism with the names. Like it's not like fucking names and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, and their take on the gods of this world is also just fantastic. You know what I mean? Sort of think, you know, the Ascended from fucking Stargate.
Yeah,
is the best way to sort of describe how they've approached the gods in Agora. So, you know, I just sort of, the only reason I'm bringing it up is, like I said, because I said I would.
Yeah.
And look, man, I'm so happy that I fucking managed to get a hold of this promo copy. You can find it on Amazon soon, if not at the moment, I think it's coming in for just $1 for the ebook version.
Oh, nice.
And I highly recommend you go out and get it. You know what I mean? I'd definitely give this a rating of A.
Well, there you go.
So now I got that out of the road.
That's not too bad.
No, it is. It's a fucking really good book, man. I absolutely fucking loved it. I really did. And I cannot wait to fucking read what they do next. I really can't.
I know how you are with your binge reading and binge watching.
Yeah.
You're not the most patient person between books and episodes and movies and shit.
Yeah. I tend to avoid fucking starting series. But I've started...
When they first come out.
When they first come out, just for that fact that I fucking hate waiting, but
yeah.
I've got, what, 3 series I've started now that I've got to wait for the next one. So, yay.
Unlucky,
all right. But look, we may as well throw it in. It's the last one for the year. It's time for a
booze review. A booze review. So what did you get this week?
Man, this week I got something fucking real special. I got me some motherfucking chartreuse.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yes, man. If you haven't heard of chartreuse, it is a 55% fucking lime green pile of death in a fucking bottle. So, it's basically a French liqueur made by Carthusian monks and has been made since 1737 according to instructions set out in a secret manuscript given to them by some fucking abbot in 1605. It's basically a fucking herbal maceration. So that's
what fucks up.
Like your absinthe or your Jaeger or your gin, something like that. It's a distilled alcohol that's made with herbs and plants and flowers and all sorts of goofy fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that started out as a medicine and then people realized it got you fucked up the more you fucking drank it. So it gets its name from the color of it, which is a chartreuse, which is basically green. And it's actually one of a very, very few number of bottles that continues to age and get better and better in the bottle. So like with your scotches and your whiskies and stuff like that, once you put it in a bottle, it stops aging.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't have anything there to age with. Whereas chartreuse is one of those ones that just gets better with age. Doesn't really matter. So there's 2 different types of chartreuse you can get. You got a yellow chartreuse, which is a 40%, so it's your normal sort of stock standard fucking 80 proof liquor. Fuck that. If you're gonna drink chartreuse, man, you gotta do it properly. You gotta get the fucking green chartreuse.
You did it properly.
So it's a 55%. It's the full on fucking proper deal. It's basically fucking ethanol that's just been soaked in a pile of fucking herbs for about 8 hours. So they've got another couple of types, you know. They've got the chartreuse VEP, the Elixir Vegetal, the Liquor de 9% Centaur, Citrus 1605, and the White Citrus. But, you know, fuck them. I'm talking about the green one. So, like I said, it started life as a fucking medicine. And it's something that, you know, kept going and kept going until, it, you know, people realise you can get fucking pissed off it. So it became popular around the 1750 mark when they basically adapted it so you could get pissed off it, you know, following that tradition of these people are supposed to be abstinent, just basically fucking supplying the world with sin, said the Christian.
Good on them.
So in about 1793, they were actually expelled from France, so you couldn't get it from 1793 right up till 1838, so about fucking 45 years or so. And it was around that time they developed the yellow one. So, I mean, like, yeah, they're basically fucking hoons because they keep getting fucking kicked the fuck out of France. So it continues on and, you know, it basically keeps going on. Their recipes are closely guarded secret, although it hasn't stopped a lot, and I do mean a lot of fucking people from trying to replicate it. You can find chartreuse fucking, chartreuse freaking replicas all over the fucking place if you look hard enough. So it's done quite well for itself in the awards sort of fucking realm of things. It's won at least 3 fucking medals for the basic, you know, the green chartreuse, which is what we're drinking at the moment. And it's also got an above average score, you know, pretty much everywhere that you fucking want to look. If it sounds familiar, it probably is. Did you watch Death Proof a couple years back?
Death Proof, couldn't tell you.
Quentin probably Tarantino not. With Kurt Russell as a stunt driver and fucking...
No.
Part of that grindhouse thing him and Rodriguez did.
No.
Well, in that, Quentin Tarantino, who plays the barman, serves a green liqueur. And that's what's being served. So, you know,
nice.
He says it with the quote, you know, chartreuse, the only liquor so good they named a colour after it, which is true, to be fair. The colour chartreuse was named well and truly after the fucking liquor was made. So, I mean, even, yeah. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, I can sum this up in one word. Pepper. I've been a fan of this for a very, very, very long time. It's basically one of those things I sort of hold up there with absinthe, something I'll get very, very rarely, but when I do, I like to enjoy it. And I don't know about the traditional way to drink it, but I found the best way to drink this particular fucking liquor is the way that I was taught to drink it. Basically, you shot it, and then in the same mouthful, you fucking swig a fucking beer at the same time. Now, you know that's saying something, because you know me, I don't drink that much fucking beer to start with.
Mm. Yeah, neither do I. Beer gives me a headache if I have a session on it.
So, this chartreuse-flavoured spirit, man, fucking have a whiff of that. Have a whiff. Like I said, pepper.
Mm.
Pepper. It's very peppery. I mean, that's all you're going to get. So, like, you can drink it straight. I'm assuming you can sip it, although why the fuck you'd want to, I have no idea. Like, the difference between this and, say, absinthe, which is around about the same ABV, is absinthe, there's ways of drinking it without shooting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can do the Bohemian method, which is where, you know, you mix the sugar and the water and light it on fire. Or you can do the traditional method, which is just, you know, slowly drip some water into it over some sugar just to sweeten it up a bit. I haven't found a single fucking person or way yet to drink this without just shooting it and chasing it. Something that you're going to fucking drink when you want to get fucked up. One of those very literal one chartreuse, two chartreuse, three chartreuses flaws. So,
it doesn't work as good as tequila.
No, it doesn't work, but you know what? It's truer than tequila. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't know, man.
Without further fucking around.
The caramel tequila. God damn it.
Yeah, that's how good that tequila was.
I didn't end up on the floor, but, you know.
Fucking damn close. So, without any much more fucking around, have you got your beer with you there, dude?
I've got my beer with me.
Because this is your first time you've tried this, isn't it?
It is.
So, you got your beer?
Got my beer. Got my shot.
Just for the record, we're drinking some Tui's Extra Dry, because, I mean, you know, you don't want to waste your good beer on this shit. Got your beer, you got your shot.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to drink the shot. We're going to fucking quickly chug the beer. Don't breathe until you've swallowed the beer. All right? Trust me.
So am I shooting it and then drinking the beer in the same mouthful?
Yeah, it works.
Or shot it and then drink the beer afterwards?
I personally find shot, skull, breathe. But it's up to you.
Shot, skull, breathe. All right.
Yeah, basically. All right.
Ready?
Cheers!
Yes!
Oh, man. That's how you fucking drink it. What do you reckon?
I didn't really get too much of a chance to fucking taste it.
Oh, well, fuck you. Let me pour you another one.
Oh, that's spicy.
That's what I'm saying. Pepper, man. Pepper.
God damn it. See, it smells like pepper, but doesn't taste like pepper.
Oh, I don't know. I get a pretty peppery taste of it. It's pepper, but it's sweet pepper. Mm. I suppose if you want to try and fucking narrow it down a bit more. It's a very sweet sort of peppery fucking taste.
If you grab like a bottle of Fanta, a cup of Fanta, and chuck some pepper on it to spice it up, that's what it tastes like.
Actually, that's pretty fucking fair, to be honest. I'll give you that one. Yeah. I'll give you that one. But if you notice, like I said, not a beer drinker.
No.
If I could still stand after drinking a bottle of Chartreuse and fucking drinking a fucking carton, I probably would do that quite often because it gives something to the beer, right? Mm. That the beer doesn't have, but the beer does something to the Chartreuse that on its own it sort of lacks. You know what I mean? It gives it this sort of hoppy fucking malty fucking flavor. It brings it down a bit.
It's a bit like the way you generally shoot tequila. You know, lip, sip, and suck.
Yeah, exactly.
It just brings out the flavors and dulls the burn.
Yeah, or like putting salt and pepper in your stout. You know what I mean? It takes and gives at the same fucking time. It's really fucking good. So, look, man, I already know what my rating is. So, what do you give it?
Tastes nice. I don't know, man. I'm on the fence with this one.
Really?
I am. Like, I like it. Don't get me wrong, I like it. But having to chug the beer after it...
Oh, I mean, you don't have to chug the beer. Like I said, if you'd man the fuck up, I'd pour you another one. You could...
I had the rest of the shot that was left in the cup, and that was enough.
Yeah, like, you definitely need a chaser. Don't get me wrong. You cannot mix this by itself. You need a chaser. I'm just going to fucking put that out on front straight.
I'm going to give that one an A-.
Really?
Yeah. I like it. But I don't know. A-. Fuck it. I'm sticking with an A-.
So I'm going to give this one an A+. No real fucking surprise there. I mean, I suppose a part of it could be fucking tied up in the first few times that I had it. But I love it, man. I really do love it. And anything that can make me fucking drink beer and like beer gets a fucking tick of approval from me. So that's fucking Chartreuse green fucking liqueur from the Drunken Beersman this week. And that was our booze review for this year, the last one for the year. And fucking hell, isn't that a doozy? I love that Chartreuse, brother. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
That night was a pretty interesting night, actually.
Yeah, I think we did that. I can't remember what order it is. So you can definitely tell the fucking difference.
I think it was at least third.
Yeah, I think it was, actually, so... Yeah. All right, so let's get down to the fucking nuts and bolts of it. We've got two parts of this show for the rest of the show. We're going to have a look back at the year that's been, and then we're going to talk about some of the new and exciting things that are coming up next fucking year. So where do you want to start, brother?
I don't know. Where do you want to start?
I'm happy to start anywhere.
Let's do our top five booze reviews.
All righty, so... Might as well go one at a time.
One at a time.
Because I dare say our list is drastically fucking different. Okay, so number five. Well, you may as well fucking go first, brother.
All right, so at number five was a one that caught my eye. Had a nice queen on the front of it from Kazakhstan. Look, man, I know you don't like it, but
what your obsession with, like, aside from the hot bitch on the bottle, I don't get it, eh?
I liked it. Number five comes in with a Snow Queen vodka for me.
Snow Queen vodka.
Snow Queen.
Ugh.
Really?
Really. I don't know, man. I couldn't get behind it myself, but it's not my list, I suppose. So.
That's right. That's why we got two different lists.
Yeah, no, look, man, I'm going to start off with Glen Grant Scotch.
Nice.
I really... That was quite a fucking shock, because like I said, I think in the original review, that it's... rather cheap for what it is, and oh my god, was it sweet and smooth. Like, it was a big shock for a single malt. That fucking young in particular, that just, it really sort of blew me away, and it's one that I've actually gone back and I'm a repeat customer, you could say.
So, my number four would have to be Kettle One vodka.
Kettle One, yeah. I got you onto that if I do remember correctly.
Yeah, back before we even were doing the fucking practice runs for the podcast.
Yeah, well, the price just sort of dropped out of the arse end of that at the start of the year, which was really surprising because it did used to be about 50 fucking bucks a bottle.
Yeah.
And then at the start, it just dropped by about 10 or 12 dollars just out of fucking nowhere, and we could start getting it in town.
Mm.
And the thing that really shocked me about that is because we don't live near a you know, big box sort of fucking bottle shop. We can get it cheaper in town than I can at some of your bigger retailers, which is a real big shock. And it is probably one of the best fucking vodkas out there, in my fucking opinion, regardless, especially for an everyday sort of fucking drinker.
Yeah.
Which you can afford to do it with. So, look, man, my number four would have to be Blanton's.
Blanton's?
Yeah, I really, really fucking dug just how fucking good Blanton's was. I mean, no real shock seeing it is the granddaddy of all single barrel bourbons out there, but it was the first time I'd actually fucking sat down and had a session with it. It is one that I probably can't afford to get all the time, but it's definitely when I have got the spare cash and I am where I can get it, I will definitely fucking reach for it first when it comes to a bourbon. Although that bearded lady, I think, fucking was quite
that was,
a fucking
that
shock.
That was a really fucking big shock, wasn't it?
It was. It was a big fucking surprise, actually. Yeah, I forgot all about that in this list, but talking about the Blantons, man, fuck yeah.
So, my number three would have to come in as a scotch. You kind of got me on the scotch. I wasn't a big drinker of scotch.
Another fucking victory I'm chalking up in the win column this year.
Well, I was a vodka drinker. You just put me on a Kettle One.
Yeah, you're already on there, but I helped guide
I was
you.
I on that bandwagon. But no, I wasn't an overly huge scotch drinker. And for me, I think my favourite scotch of the year would have been fucking Dimple 12-year-old.
Yeah, it's always a nice scotch, that
I
Dimple.
Fucking loved it, hey. I lathered that up.
Yeah, it was. It was a fucking... It is a rather nice scotch.
Yeah.
And it does come in such a sexy bottle.
Doesn't it what?
Oh, yes.
I made that shit last, too. I had that for so fucking long, hey. I sat there and savoured it.
Yeah, you do better than me. I think I've got a sniff of Glen Grant left. I think. I'm not quite sure. I put it in a decanter somewhere just to fucking... For shits and kicks, yeah. My number three, bro, surprisingly enough, is another fucking vodka, and it is Tovarich.
Nice.
Yeah, on the cheaper end of the fucking scale, but once again, I'm going more for the ones that really shocked me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting a whole lot when I seen this, because it is probably one of the cheaper sort of fucking vodkas out there, but it is also one of the most highly awarded vodkas.
Mm.
And it is just fucking brilliant. Like, once they fucked off that stupid fucking neck on it, you know, the half-ass crappy-ass fucking
thing. Did I actually finally fucking fuck it off?
Yeah, the last two bottles I got didn't have it, which is fucking awesome. But yeah, no, it was a real big fucking shock just how fucking smooth and fucking tasty that little fucking bitch is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, once again, a bit of a shock that it, or a bit of a fucking shame that it's not as strong as it fucking should be. But in saying that, as far as a pure Russian vodka goes, you really can't go much fucking better than that.
Mm. And for the price of it, it's...
Yeah, for the price of it, it is absolutely fucking just amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely fucking, it's another one to push on, especially if you're fucking having a budget week at the fucking booze shop.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Definitely one to fucking look out for.
So my number two comes in, and this one, essentially at the start when we did the review, was good.
Yep.
And I loved it. But what stood out was when we did the shootout.
Yeah.
And it would be Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck. Putting that up against Maker's Mark, which I thought was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, well, Maker's Mark used to be fucking a really stock standard favourite of mine. You know what I mean? It was one of the first sort of, you know, upper fucking tier bourbons I really got into.
Yeah, well, I started drinking. I was drinking that night we went to the Beards.
Yeah, exactly.
But, this fucking Buffalo Trace just... Yeah. Up against the Maker's Mark, and I can't remember off the top of my head what the other one was. Do you?
Oh, shit, hang on. Let me have a quick looky. I've got it saved here somewhere. But yeah, no, it was. It was a shock, you know what I mean? Another...
Yeah.
Even though it's been around for a couple of years, it's only been a recent sort of addition to Australia, at least.
Yeah.
And I was very fucking surprised at just how good it is. And like I said, you sort of... We sort of forgot about it there for a while, you know what I mean? Like, it was nice.
It was one that got kind of... Not necessarily intentionally got pushed back to the back of the fucking... The cupboard, but... yeah, it got, kind of got forgot about. But once that popped up in the fucking booze review, holy shit.
Yeah, no, when we finally got around to doing that shootout.
Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, the shootout, not the booze review.
Yeah, I really can't remember who it was. It was Maker's Mark, that, and, oh, that's right, it was that fucking Jim Beam Black.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which really sort of had no fucking chance, if we were honest with ourselves. But, yeah, no, it was quite a fucking shock just how fucking good that was, especially upon, you know, second and third fucking go-around, as the case may be. My number two is actually Square One Vodka.
Nice.
One we did just recently. I was a little bit fucking dubious at the start, mainly because of all the, you know, hipster-certified organic kind of shit fucking shit. Like, more power to them, but I was like, yeah. And, you know, it definitely got points because it's 100% female-owned and fucking operated.
Yep.
And, you know, it has a really good selling point, don't get me wrong. But what really shocked me was the fucking quality, you know what I mean? It was an amazing fucking vodka. Yeah. And definitely one of the best I've tasted this fucking year. You know what I mean? The price is a bit of a pity, but then again, you pay for all that sort of hipster shit. So, no real big fucking shock
there.
Fuck,
if they pay like a dollar extra for an artisan piece of ice, fuck that.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely fucking out the corner of the fucking hipster market. And I'm telling you what, it is definitely fucking worth having a fucking second look at. That is for damn sure.
Definitely. I'd 100% agree right there.
Boy. All right, Bray. Number one.
Number one. You know what number one is. You've got to know.
Nah.
Oh, my God. Number one has definitely got to be the Book of Nose small batch.
Yeah, you love that Book of Nose,
didn't
you?
Oh, my God. This bottle of bourbon has been sitting on my cupboard since I bought it, or since I got given it fucking for my birthday in August. Right? It's what? August, September, October. 4 months it's been sitting there, and I've still got a drink or two left. And oh my God, I love it. I love it to death.
It is. It is a very fucking nice little drop.
It's a little bit exy, but it's definitely worth it because at 127 point fuck knows proof or 63%.
Yeah, it's a minimum 63 and a half. Minimum of 60 something percent.
Yeah, I think it's a minimum of 60 or 61 to 65.
Yeah, because it's a cask strength.
Yep.
So whatever it is in the cask when it comes out, that's what you fucking get straight from the fucking. From the barrel to the bottle, say.
And it's a beautifully fucking kind of simple design. It's got wax all over it. It's got the B for Beam on it. It's got a handwritten note from Booker, from what I can gather. And each bottle's got its own... Oh, well, sorry. Each batch has its own sticker of what it is and it's
Yeah, what unique, it's from, where it's from, ABV and all that sort of jazz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, man, my number one for this year, believe it or not, is Vodka Vodka.
Vodka Vodka.
Love the
You know
vodka,
what? I believe
vodka.
It. Looking right behind you, there's 3, 4, 6, 8, around about 10 or 11 bottles sitting right there.
It has become my regular fucking drinker. Yeah. You know, this little quiet fucking Polish fucking rye holdover from you know, the state-owned communist days is... it's a fucking shock. That's what it was. Just like the Tovrich, it is a fucking hell of a shock, you know what I mean? Like, you can't get two better examples of the difference between a Polish vodka and a Russian vodka than Tovrich and vodka.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And the thing I love about them Poles is they love their rye vodkas.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean? I think every fucking Polish vodka I've tried to date has been a rye vodka.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And there's a reason for that. It does make such a beautiful vodka. That, you know, is smooth as hell, but has its own fucking character and fucking body to it that you just don't get with other fucking types. You know what I mean? Like, Russians make a fucking very good vodka. I love their fucking vodka. But the Poles, man, the Poles know what they're fucking doing. They really fucking do. So, that's our, oh, now, do we want to fucking shit on a couple fucking boozers while we're here? Couple of spirits? I've got a couple.
I've got at least three.
Lay it on us, brother.
All right, number three worst booze we've had this year comes in it with old number 15.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that shit. Oh,
that has to be it. I've got no explanation for it. I've just old number 15. It's by the Edgemill Group.
Yeah,
and to be honest, it was probably the worst. One of the worst bourbons.
One of the worst bourbons we've tried. For me, it's a tie between that and that old Nelson County.
Yep.
Which was just fucking asshole fucking strained fucking shit McShit shit. Fucking my number two worst for the year would have to have been that Karloff fucking vodka we had just last week.
Yeah.
It was fucking horrible.
All right, scratch that. I'll put old number 15 at number four. Karloff is number three.
Isn't it? It was just fucking terrible, wasn't it?
Yep.
Absolutely fucking
shocking. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it was fucked, man. Like, it's up there. Because I don't like that Jack Daniel's honey either. Like, that Jack Daniel's honey turned me off. Honey infused fucking spirits, you know what I mean? And it's sat in my cupboard for.
It's a shame because fucking Wild Turkey honeys goes really fucking well.
Yeah, I can't drink it anymore. I can't drink fucking
anything honey.
Turn me off that turkey honey, like.
Oh no!
It just fucking makes my stomach turn. It really does. It's just fucking horrible, man. It has, and I was so excited about making my own mead. I'll never be a Viking now, goddammit.
Oh, poor Drunkle Dan.
So, yeah, but that Karloff, man, fuck me, Rain. If you see it, run the other way, people. Just don't even fucking attempt.
It's a cheap knockoff of Smirnoff.
It's
the cheap Australian.
Yeah, it's... And like...
Oh, my God.
I've noticed we're shitting on Australian spirits just quietly at the moment, but there are some good ones out there. I just want to stress that. Arctica Vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
Was a surprising fucking little gem
in
amongst all the shit that we found this year, you know what I mean? Like, it was something I had absolutely no illusions about being good, and it was quite a fucking surprise.
Yeah, that was a bit of a quiet sleeper.
You know what I mean? So it's not that we're shitting on Australian spirits, it's just we're shitting on cheap Australian spirits.
And it's not really their fault, because it's the tax. It's the booze tax.
I don't even class it that. I'm not talking about ABV. I'm talking about taste, character, fucking
But it's... Well, for me, if I was to make alcohol and I took that into consideration, I'd be like, fuck it. They're going to fuck me over for tax. Fuck it.
Well, Triple Six.
Put something shit out.
Yeah, see, that's stupid to me. Like, Triple Six, okay, for instance, Triple Six, right, is an amazing, absolutely amazing Australian-made vodka made down in Tasmania. Doesn't skimp on the fucking flavor, doesn't skimp on its fucking process, doesn't skimp on the ABV, doesn't skimp on the fucking price either, just quietly. But you know what? That's fucking fine, because if you really want something fucking decent, you know what I mean? I don't mind paying a few extra dollars for it.
Maybe it's just the Australian way of cutting corners.
Some Australian ways of cutting corners. I'm not, and that's my point with the Triple Six and the Arctica. You know, there are some dodgy fucking operators out there. Like, the Divas Von Cat's another one. Fucking, or Divas V-Cat. Go fuck yourself, you wine-making motherfucks. Finally, number one. I think there's going to be no contention.
Hang on. I haven't got my number two yet.
Oh, sorry, your number two.
My number two is Nelson County.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Bit of a fucking division in the ranks there.
Yep.
But like I said, number one.
Number one's mutual, bro.
I'm pretty sure it is. Break it to us.
It's that piece of shit, Black Widow bourbon.
Oh, man.
Black Widow whiskey, should I say.
Yes.
You labelled it wrong, you fuckhead.
Yes. The homebrew that's been fucking way over fucking flavoured shitty McFucking flavouring.
I am fucking outraged. I'm honestly fucking... I can't even think of the word. I'm that cranky. Angry. I'm angered. That Australia would put out such an atrocity.
Yeah, it just gives us a bad fucking name, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, our beers, especially our craft beers, are gaining more and more traction in the international market, you know what I mean? And it's just shocking that we seem to be fucking okay, or some people seem to be okay
with putting out shit like this.
Putting out this substandard fuck-knuckle push that they fucking do.
I'm ashamed to have it sitting on my fucking cupboard.
Well, yeah,
I'm almost tempted to tip it down the sink.
Almost.
Booze is booze, and if I get desperate enough, I will drink it.
Drunk enough. This is what you do. This is how you drink shit like this, right?
You get drunk before you drink it.
You get half cut on the good stuff, and then to save the good stuff, once you fucking got yourself a nice big old buzz on, then you switch to the shit, so you're not wasting it. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. That's pretty fucking shit.
It is fucking horrible. Utterly fucking horrible. Let's wash that fucking horrible fucking memory out of our fucking goddamn...
System
with some movies. Let's talk about some movies that come out this year.
Shit. There's too many.
I know, there's too many. It was really hard to try and whittle this down into just a couple, and I'm not even going to try and rate them. I've just got some in no particular fucking order.
All right, well, shoot.
Okay, so my first one is one that I was actually telling you about just before we started, called Predestination.
Yep.
I think it's the newest Ethan Hawke movie. This was a fucking mind-bending little fucking trip down fucking Paradox fucking lane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the basic premise of the story is, you know, Ethan Hawke is this time agent, I suppose he calls himself, who's trying to stop a bomber called the Fizzler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he gets caught up with, he gets caught up trying to fucking recruit this, lady, hermaphrodite.
Transsexual?
No, hermaphrodite. Oh. Yeah, got to watch it, man. I can't really... You can't. It's one of those movies, because you're talking about time travel and paradoxes, yep. And you can't really say too much about it without it sort of fucking giving the whole goddamn thing away. Like, the twist, you figure it out probably about halfway, two-thirds of the way through the movie, what's going on.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't stop it from being one hell of a head fuck of a fucking trip to friggin' go down. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. I just sort of threw it on one day because I was bored and...
Yeah.
Wow. I was absolutely fucking shocked and amazed at just how good that movie was, you know what I mean? And it also had a couple of Aussie actors, so that's always good to see.
Yeah, nice. Go the Aussies.
Go the Aussies. Try one at me, bro.
Look, I'm going to go with one that I took my eldest to when it first came out. I fucking... How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, yes, another brilliant fucking movie.
Oh, my God, that was fucking spectacular. To be honest, and it definitely was one that you had to watch at the cinema.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it at the cinema, but I tell you what, I could just imagine watching that fucker at the cinema because, it would have been a fucking great movie.
If I wasn't glued to the fucking screen screaming, my son was. Like, dead set. I love the first one, and this one just topped it off. Hey, and I know they're making more. There's at least one, maybe two coming.
Yeah.
Because I know the third TV series is getting delayed. Till next year, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. They delayed it for this year.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, nah, fucking Jay Baruchel, I think it is, or Baruchel.
Baruchel or fucking whatever the fuck.
Yeah, to me, I don't know, his voice didn't really suit, I don't know if it was just me, but it didn't suit the older Hiccup.
Yeah, he didn't try to age it from one movie to the other.
No, he didn't. It was just like plain Jay. If you want to put it bluntly. But fucking, like, not to give too much away. No, I'm not going to give anything away. You need to go watch it. Those people that haven't watched it, just do it. You need to. It's one for the family.
One for the whole family, which
one
it is.
One for the whole family.
One for the whole family, here, lady. Tammy.
Tammy?
Tammy.
What's Tammy?
Okay. Oh, haven't you seen it yet?
No.
Okay, so... Melissa McCarthy fucking vehicle.
Yep.
And it is just fucking hilarious, you know what I mean? Like, I think me and just about the rest of the world fell in love with her in Bridesmaids. And even though it's still sticking to the same sort of shtick that she's built for herself,
yep.
When you do something good and you've got no fucking problem being typecast, why the fuck not milk it for all it is fucking worth?
Yeah.
You know, it also had a fucking stash of fucking good actors in it, you know, like Nat Faxon, Gary Cole, Dan Aykroyd, fucking Susan Sarandon, Kathy Bates, Allison Janney, like fucking hell. The people they packed into this fucking movie is just hilarious.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's about her, you know, she's lost a job and she's learnt that her husband's been fucking cheating on her, so she hits the road with her fucking swearing, drug-taking, fucking alcoholic grandmother. And she basically runs away from everything with fucking... Who's played fucking just marvellously by Susan Sarandon. You know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah.
And I've always had a bit of a soft spot for old Sarandon.
Old Susan.
Oh, ever since Rocky Horror Picture Show, man, I was just like, love that woman. You know what I mean? Like, Gary Cole's funny in fucking just about anything he does. Like, that dude can fucking just owns whatever fucking character he decides to fucking pick up and play with.
Yeah.
And it's just a fucking hilarious fucking movie, you know what I mean? I fucking loved it. Me and my missus sat there and pierced ourselves fucking laughing the whole way through it.
Nice.
Does that make me part of the bell curve? I don't give a fuck if it does.
Fuck it.
What you got for me, Bray?
It's one that features one of the late and great Robin Williams. His very, very, very last movie that he was in before he tragically took his own life.
Oh, you're talking about Merry Friggin' Christmas.
It was fucking great. Like,
it was.
I don't know if it was him in general or his fucking mindset at the time or his just character, but fucking hell, he played fucking... He played an angry, drunk, dad to this guy who, it was, he ruined Christmas for this kid, right?
Yep.
Like, it not necessarily ruined, but he was always drunk. He just didn't really give two shits. You know, he taught him quite early in his life that Santa Claus didn't exist. You know, it was
what?
Me. I know.
What do you mean he doesn't exist?
I know.
You fucking lie to me, cunt.
They're lying in this movie, by the way. But yeah, no, and it's yeah, one of those typical.
Because they told to listen to this podcast.
Shut up. it's one of those typical, you know, repentant fucking movies. By the end of it, where his son grows up and he tries to tell his son that Santa Claus is real. You know, keep his innocence for as long as he can. He over exaggerates everything, and they go to Christmas at Robin Williams' character's house, and he hasn't seen his dad for fucking God knows how many years, and it's like a big full circle of repentant fucking, I'm sorry, I fucked your childhood, you know, fucking rah rah rah, I'm so proud of you, blah blah blah.
When you're coming home, son, I don't know when.
We'll get together then.
So yeah, it's one of these fucking heartstring fucking,
yeah, and, pull on the heartstrings. And to be honest, I loved it. It honestly did what it needed to do. Like, I didn't sit there and bawl my eyes out, but I felt fucking sorry for his character.
And especially when put through the prism that this is the last movie of perhaps one of the greatest fucking comedy
minds. I think that
had
a huge factor on it, hey.
Yeah, it's a very poignant sort of fucking final friggin' performance, I think.
Yeah.
I think, which is the fucking big thing about it. You know, so I haven't seen it yet.
You need to.
I am definitely going to.
You definitely need to pull your finger out.
I just haven't got around to it yet. So
busy, busy, busy.
Busy, 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 busy. Speaking of fucking busy, Edge of Tomorrow.
That was a quiet surprise, wasn't it?
That was fucking shocking, fucking shockingly surprising, like, to me, man, because I'm not what you'd call a fan of fucking Tom Cruise.
Well, it seems to me that he's trying to pull out all the stops in the last couple of years and just trying to put his name into everything.
Yeah, well,
And it may be just him putting his name into everything, or it could be just a genuine fucking comeback.
I don't know, man. Like, I've never really been a fucking Tom Cruise fan. Like, I don't care what people say. I just never seen what the fucking big deal of him was. I think a turning point was Tropic Thunder. Because even though fucking, you know, he didn't have a huge fucking role in that.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And I mean, who can forget this fucking quote?
Kill him.
This is the last horseman. Who is this?
This is Flaming Dragon.
Oh, okay. Flaming Dragon. Fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face! Now, I don't know what kind of pan-Pacific bullshit power play you're trying to pull here, but Asia Jack is my territory. So whatever you're thinking, you better think again. Otherwise, I'm going to have to head down there, and I will rain down on a godly fucking firestorm upon you. You're going to have to call the fucking United Nations and get a fucking binding resolution to keep me from fucking destroying you. I am talking scorched earth, motherfucker! I will massacre you! I will fuck you up!
Yeah, well, fucking hilarious, man. A little bit of wee came out when I fucking heard that first time, you know what I mean? Just fucking excellent, dude. I loved it. I loved that. But, you know, aside from that, there was nothing really fucking exciting. And I wasn't really all that fucking excited about this movie either.
No.
You know what I mean? I just couldn't really buy him as, like, this fucking action star, because I've never brought him as an action star.
No.
And Emily Blunt isn't,
considering most of his movies are action.
Yeah, I think that's the fucking problem I've got with him, because the cunt is funny when he wants to be, but him as an action star just doesn't seem to really fucking fly with me.
Doesn't,
you know what
gel,
I mean?
Bro.
Just doesn't gel, bro. It's not gelling with my fucking, with my ideas. It's unfair and unreasonable to expect him to be a fucking action hero. He's like fucking foot three and a fucking scrawny little fucking Scientologist. It doesn't lend itself to fucking action movies. And then you've got Emily Blunt on top of that, who also doesn't really lend herself to being an action fucking star.
No.
But holy fuck was I surprised.
Mm.
This movie, which is based on the Japanese book Kill, Die, Repeat or some fucking thing.
Yeah, it seems.
Yeah, it was fucking, it was a big fucking shock, because I sat down and watched it with the old man when he was up.
Yeah.
And, oh, dude, not only has it got some fucking killer action sequences in it,
yep,
but it is funny.
Mm.
Yeah, like I said, this is when I love Tom Cruise the best, when he is fucking doing something that makes you fucking laugh. Like, because he has got a fucking sense of humor when he gets out of his own fucking ego. And it is, he is a funny cunt. And I think that's probably why I love this movie so much, is because not only did it have the action in it and fucking also stack full of fucking Aussie actors, go the invasion.
Yeah.
But there were fucking moments of genuine fucking laugh out loud fucking humor in it that you just fucking loved. You know what I mean? Like, it was basically Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
With fucking aliens, and it was being fucking tastic. And unlike a couple of movies I can mention, there was a point to the fucking movie.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was a fucking really big shock, and I absolutely fucking loved it.
Yeah, so did I. Oh, that's got to be one of my top movies.
One of my top sci-fis for the year.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Definitely.
One of. There's one that beats it.
Oh, well, do tell.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Because even though that's based on a comic book property, that is a fucking sci-fi movie.
I was actually trying to stay away from the comic book property because all of them, as far as I'm concerned, are fucking fantastic. They've all kind of nodded and you know, just were fucking great.
What Marvel's been doing, you know, without getting into it too much, because everybody's been fucking creaming, fucking coming in their fucking shorts over it for the last, I don't know, couple of years now. You know, Marvel's done that fucking right. You know what I mean? But the reason I bring up Guardians of the Galaxy in particular is because it was completely out of left field.
Mm.
Absolutely fucking out of nowhere came this movie that when it was first announced, people were like, huh? Guardians of the what? Who the? What the fuck?
Oh,
what's the girl with the tree and the fucking raccoon and what's that cunt from Parks and Rec doing? And you know what I mean?
I took my eldest to fucking... So he was changing schools late this year in October, and we went and saw one of the principals at this certain school. And she was sitting there and talking about this and talking about that and asking him what he liked, and he said Star Wars. And, oh my God, I just cringed. I've never cringed like this before. She goes, oh, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? I said, no, not yet. No, no. And she's like, well, it's a bit of a spoof of Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh. Either I was going to... I was going to fucking up and walk out and abuse her, or I was going to fucking crack her one. But I've never cringed like that before.
Oh, my
God.
Oh. It's a send-up. No, it isn't a send-up, you fucking...
No, it's completely different fucking property.
But, yeah, no, it was. It was. It just came out of fucking nowhere. They released it at a funny time of the fucking year. And it crushed.
Yeah.
Crushed all fucking competition.
It dominated.
For a fucking long time at that. Like, it was over a month that thing was fucking number one at the box office. So, you know, and it was great. Like, I went and seen that in the fucking cinema with the fams, and they all fucking loved it. And then when the brother-in-law come down, the kids managed to convince him to take them to Toowoomba to go watch it again.
Nice.
So, you know, it was amazing. I can't wait to see the fucking sequel of that one either.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just fucking great, man. And the soundtrack. Oh, my God, I love that fucking soundtrack.
I think that goes hand in hand with our generation.
Yeah, you know, and it fucking...
I don't think the younger ones would have connected as well as we did.
But see, that's the thing. Even if they didn't connect to the history of the songs, like we may have grown up with that sort of music.
Placed and picked perfectly.
It has fucking now become part of the lexicon for a whole new generation of kids. Like some of them fucking songs, you know what I mean? Like it is just fucking amazing how well they did with that movie. Especially when they basically picked a property from the bottom of the fucking pile and said, fuck it. We could do anything because we're Marvel.
Yeah.
And then shocked the fuck out of everybody when it turned out, yeah, no, they can do anything they want because, yeah, they're Marvel and they're doing it right. So, you know, go Kevin Feige.
Woo.
I got one more movie, bro.
Oh, one more movie?
Yeah. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
By far, probably my favorite movie of the year.
Motherfucking apes on motherfucking horses.
Motherfucking apes on motherfucking horses with motherfucking guns, bitch.
Machine guns, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Motherfucking apes in tanks.
Yeah, apes in fucking tanks. Like, this movie is just... I'm at a loss for words. That's just how great it was. Like, this movie, if they're ever going to fucking start handing out Oscars for performance capture, this is definitely going to be one of the movies that they're going to look back and say, that was the turning point where performance capture was finally recognized as being fucking a legitimate form of fucking acting worthy of a fucking Oscar.
To be honest, I don't know why it hasn't been already. It fucking shoots me to tears.
It does. Like, the main argument's been that, you know, yeah, you've got the performance artist, but then you've got all these other people who come along and put everything on it.
Yeah.
The difference with this movie is because of the points of articulation that they used You know what I mean? There is so much of the fucking performer that comes through in that character.
And it's Andy Serkis, oh my God.
And yeah, Andy Serkis, I wouldn't be surprised the next time he turns up in any live action role, they're going to give him an Oscar just because, you know what I mean? Like, just out of fucking, yeah, you deserve one anyway, so fucking here, have this supporting actor fucking Oscar, whatever the fuck it is. And Toby Kebbell came out of fucking nowhere and just blew us away, you know what I mean? Like, I loved him in fucking Rock-A-Roller and a couple other fucking movies he's been in, but he never really hit the way he probably should have fucking hit back in the day, and it's good to see him finally start to get some fucking recognition. And his performance as Cobra was just amazing.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like, this whole fucking movie, like, you didn't give a fuck about the people.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, no, Gary Oldman was... apes. It was a matter of Gary who? You know what I mean? Like, it was just amazing. Like, those apes owned that fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to fucking watch. And it earned a shitload of money, which means we're going to see even more of them.
Fuck yeah.
Which is just fucking amazing. And
so
the
what
way
got,
it ended...
that, Rise, Dawn, what's your prediction?
I don't know, man. War. War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And the
war,
way...
The war is inevitable.
Yeah, like
it's already started.
There's the last fucking line of that movie is just...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's crushing. Absolutely fucking crushing. You know what I mean? People got all teared up and shit. It was great.
People as in you.
Fuck
you. Did.
Although, I'm a little bit disgusted with humanity at the moment.
Why?
Do you want to know what the highest grossing fucking movie of the year was?
TNMT?
No.
Transformers.
Yep.
Yep.
By a lot.
To be honest, I enjoyed the first three, but this fourth one, he just went way too fucking overboard. And I know you're not a big fan of Michael Bay at all, whatsoever.
I hate how he shits, takes a big, massive, steaming pile of fucking curry shit on fucking childhood fucking properties. And like, yeah, I get the argument that, you know,
he puts this fucking banquet on, right? This fucking big, big platter of fucking beautiful food and just shits on it.
Yeah. Like, okay, this is how fucked up... This is one of my problems with this movie, right? Just one. Yeah. One of the fucking hundreds of problems I've got, yeah? They stopped the movie dead in the water for 10 minutes to explain why it's okay for an adult to have sex with a minor.
What?
Yep. Because his daughter's only 16 or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend's like 20 or 21. So, old mate fucking...
No, he's only fucking 19 or something.
Whatever, he's over the age of fucking maturity, right?
No, he's a year older. She's 16 and he's 17, but...
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because they stopped the movie dead for about 5 minutes while he explains how he can be a fucking adult and she can be a minor and it's okay for them
Romeo
to have sex.
Romeo and Juliet clause?
Yeah, the Romeo and Juliet clause. Like, who the fuck... What creepy sort of motherfucker carries that shit around laminated in your fucking wallet? No, officer, it's okay.
He did, just for situations like that.
Fuck off, you creep, fucking, you creep. And it's not his fault, he's just an actor.
Yeah.
It's the creep who wrote it and the creep who fucking directed it. Fuck off, idiot. And yet people eat this shit up.
Yeah.
God damn it, this is why we don't get fucking, you know, really fucking interesting and different movies don't get more fucking budget and fucking, you know, bigger fucking exposure. Like, Predestination was a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
Completely off the fucking wall different. Yet it didn't get anywhere near the fucking play that it fucking should have.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It didn't get anywhere near the recognition that it fucking should have. It's fucking stupid what people will fucking spend money on. Utterly fucking stupid. And it fucking, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, which was the next highest grossing film, was out by a good couple hundred million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's
huge difference.
Huge difference. Like, fucking Transformers 4 cracked over $1 billion fucking dollars just in the box office.
Mm.
People are retarded.
It's all about Grimlock, bro.
Oh, fucking Grimlock. I'll give you fucking Grimlock.
That day that I took my eldest to see fucking How to Train Your Dragon 2, we were essentially supposed to go see Transformers 4 and we were late. So I'm completely and 100% happy with that.
Yeah, I was never going to go see it in the cinema.
I was so... Well, I wanted to because he's a fucking Transformers... Not necessarily geek, fanatic.
Yeah,
he loves him and my fucking second eldest are just into it, and we were late and we went and saw How to Train Dragon 2, and I'm okay with that because I hired it out, and I honestly couldn't see, like, it was too much fucking robotics and fucking all that sort of shit. I'm all good with a fucking shit story as long as there's good action, and Michael Bay knows how to put good action and explosions and shit. But having so many robots and all this fucking new technology and whatnot, and the inventor.
I'm an inventor. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I invent things. Just, if this invention could save us,
it all molded into one.
I'm gonna get my inventor on, so I better go get my glasses.
It's okay, Optimus.
I'm an inventor. I can fix you.
I found a transformer.
Over here. For fuck's sake, goddamn it, man. I'm fucking moving right the fuck along, because goddamn it, fuck Transformers and fuck it in the ass.
Another letdown this year.
What?
Would have to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, I loved it, but I didn't like it at all at the same time.
Yeah, it was a weird fucking movie.
I know it sounds contradictory.
Like, but I fucking enjoyed parts of that movie.
Yeah.
And I fucking hated the other, so it evened out to a fucking mediocre film, in my opinion.
Yeah, so
the
did I.
The biggest problem I had, and I know this is going a little bit fucking too nerd deep into it, but the origin story, man.
You're getting too analytical, bro.
Fucking annoys me. It makes no sense. It's all a fucking, they turn what is... and always has been a fucking great fucking origin story. Even when they were pulling the piss out of Daredevil in the original TMNT, into a fucking "it's a small world after all" fucking cliche. Go fuck off, idiot. Not everybody has to be fucking knowing somebody from fucking way back when. It's all right to be fucking, you know, two worlds collide, if you want to use another fucking cliche. You know what I mean? And why fuck? Okay. You cannot learn ninjutsu from a fucking pamphlet. I don't give a fuck who you are or fucking how you are. I don't give a fuck. Okay? You can't do it. Not to the level of fucking skill that these fuckers have. Okay? You can't just be like, oh, yep. I look this way, then I look at that way, and then I pull this pose, and yeah, cool. I'm a ninja. Fuck off, man. Fuck off. It comes out fucking this week that Bebop and Rocksteady are going to be in the second one.
Yeah, nice.
Right?
Don't know how, but yeah.
It's not going to fucking work. How the fuck? Oh, yeah, no. You know how we said in the last movie that this is all the mutagen we got and it was only in your blood, but you sort of destroyed all the mutagen? Well, we've had this other experiment running for about 20 years. We just seem to have forgotten about it, yeah.
Well, you know that it was still extracting blood when they were in there when he first pulled the mutagen out, right?
Yeah, but like this mutagen shit, they grew
the
in real time.
Facility didn't completely explode, so there could be blood left over, and they still could fucking, you know.
So what is it? Mutagen. Set 20 years down in the future? Are they?
Could be,
but then they won't be teenage ninja turtle mutants anymore.
Who knows?
Fuck off, god damn it.
Middle-aged Ninja Turtles.
Fuck off. And I'm sorry, but it was just a little bit too jarring to see.
Midlife
fucking...
crisis mutant Ninja Turtles.
But it was, and it was also a little jarring to see Johnny Knoxville, or hear, I should say, Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
As Leonardo, like that, there was a disconnect there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, huh?
All their voices didn't work for me. And
I don't know, like the dude who voiced Mikey.
Yeah,
I think he was probably the most fucking
little bit too over the top for me.
Like, yeah, but I mean that's fine. I can handle that, you know.
I know Mikey's supposed to be like that, but it's a little bit too much.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And no offense to Tony Shalhoub.
We'll find you. That sounded a bit creepy, but we'll find you though.
Yeah, but that's down to writing. That's not down to delivery. You know what I mean? Like that's just sloppy fucking writing. And Tony Shalhoub, I love Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
But him as Splinter didn't quite fucking gel for me.
Oh, I fucking hated the way they had Splinter.
You know, oh, I loved
he
the way...
He looked like a fucking hairless rat.
I loved the way he looked. I absolutely loved his look because it made sense, you know what I mean? A lot more sense than turtles with lips and a fucking... and noses. You know what I mean? The way they had Splinter looking, loved it. I thought it was such a fucking cool and different fucking take on it. I really dug it. But then...
Maybe I'm just used to the one that they had in the original fucking... A live action series.
Yeah.
Movies.
I don't know, man. But his voice, once again, the voice cast was just all fucking out of fucking whack. You know what I mean? But, fuck. I'm still going to go watch the next one because... Hey, Ninja Turtles.
Midlife crisis, Ninja Turtles.
Do you want to cover music or TV?
We'll go TV.
Fucking... Might as well start with Helix, hey?
Helix, yeah.
Yeah, fucking might as well start at the top. We'll work our way down. Fucking, absolutely. This show came out of nowhere.
Mm.
Very much of a fucking slow burner. took about, what, 6 episodes to get into?
Yeah, I'd have to say about 5 or 6.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you haven't watched, if you don't know what we're on about, Helix was a TV series that was started on Sci-Fi this year, and it's basically sort of centers around these this CDC team who's got to go to the Arctic. It's the Arctic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where a viral outbreak has occurred, you know, and much fucking... It was basically zombies in fucking snow.
Pretty much.
Yeah. With weird
curable
fucking,
zombies, though.
Yeah, curable sort of zombies eventually.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had this whole fucking mythos around fucking, you know, immortals and fucking... Once again, all this small world shit, you know what I mean? Like, but, like I said, it took a little bit to get into. But once it got it talked into you, fucking hell, you were fucking waiting with bated breath week to week to see what happened next. Fucking, the weird shouting, angry whisper was really kind of fucking annoying and I never, ever, ever got used to it. But fucking, Hiroyuki Sanada, as always, was just fucking amazing.
How busy was he this year? Holy shit.
He was in everything this year. It's good. He's a fucking good actor, man. Really fucking enjoyed it. Another fucking series he was in was Extent, which wasn't on my list for some reason, but it was also a good fucking series.
Oh, dude, no. Fucking, that was brilliant. That was on the top of my list.
It was. It was and, a brilliant fucking series.
Just a quick fucking little fucking thing. Pierce Gannon from Extent, the little kid.
Oh, yep.
He was in Merry Friggin' Christmas too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was the grandson.
Nice.
So,
creepy little fucker that he was.
That's the only property that I've ever seen him pop up in.
I think that's probably why. I think this was his first fucking real gig.
Yeah. Well, Merry Friggin' Christmas. Or Extent.
No, Extent.
Yeah.
And, it was a really good one. You know, once again, another sci-fi series. You know, Haley Berry's an astronaut who's been up in the space station.
Who doesn't like to wear bras.
Who doesn't like to wear bras. Ain't nothing wrong with that, just quietly. But, she's been up in space for, you know, fucking 10 months. She comes down and finds out she's 2 months pregnant.
Wasn't that 13 months?
Or 13 months or something like that. And she comes down and find out she's a couple months fucking pregnant.
Yep.
So, you know, much conspiracy and sci-fi comes along with that. And ending with, you know, and it had, you know, creepy fucking android boy and fucking, you know, much conspiracy theory and fucking aliens and rah. And yeah, no, it was a really good fucking series. Yeah. I'm well looking forward to the second season of that as well. Now the one that I was probably most anticipating this year,
Constantine,
and it did not disappoint. Oh no,
The Flash,
The Strain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this was one of my most highly anticipated fucking series to come out this year. I heard about it, from the minute I heard about it last year and read the books that Guillermo del Toro did after he got shit-canned on the idea of doing the TV series in the first place, was it lived up to every fucking hope and dream I had for it.
Mm.
It is one of the best adaptations I've ever seen. From as just a sheer stick and close from fucking...
Between TV series and movies?
Paper and fucking... Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's just a great fucking show, you know what I mean? Like, say what you want about Guillermo, but he knows his shit when it comes to vampires. He knows his shit when it comes to fucking horror.
Yeah.
He just knows his shit when it comes to that whole style. And, you know, even though he didn't direct every episode, he edited every single episode and he did the colouring on every single minute of footage.
Nice.
So, you know, and it is amazing how fucking well they did with it.
From a different perspective, because I didn't read the books yet, and knowing full well what Guillermo's capable of, he definitely didn't disappoint.
Oh, fuck no.
At all.
You know,
when I fucking got each episode, I was looking forward impatiently to the next.
Yeah, week to week. It's one me and the missus watch with fucking bated breath. And even though it shouldn't be a shock considering his start as an indie filmmaker his origins as an indie filmmaker.
Yeah.
His jump from movies, you know, huge budget fucking blockbusters to TV didn't seem to hinder him at all. You know what I mean? Yeah. There was no real fucking difference in quality, both story and visually, from fucking one to the other with him. He is a fucking god, I swear it. He is. He's some sort of weird fucking...
He's a real vampire.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Weird fucking genital-obsessed fucking vampire.
Now, look, another one that hit home that I wasn't disappointed with was From Dusk Till Dawn, the series.
Yeah. On the new El Rey network.
Yeah. They did that. It went off track a little bit, but it was based upon the
Dusk Till Dawn movie.
The Dusk Till Dawn movie and the kind of things that happened leading up to the event at the fucking Titty Twister.
Yeah, it was sort of a prequel that then continued and changed the mythos. And they expanded upon the mythology of the vampires. And the way they went with the mythology on that, I thought, was really interesting too.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of base it around these South American snake cults and gods and shit like that was really sort of fucking good. And probably one of the standout fucking standouts from that was DJ Katrona.
Yeah.
You know, who previously had been in, like, Step Up.
Yeah, well, like you said, he channeled fucking Clooney so well.
He did, and he did it in a way to make it his own. And fucking Wilma Vanderama.
Did he?
Holy shit, I didn't even realise that was him for like the first three episodes. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's a mean ass vato. And then I found out it wasn't, like, god damn.
That's a big change from that 70s show. Hey?
Oh, fucking Fez grew up, right? Jesus Christ, creepy as fuck. And the way he fucking, you know, his body language as this vampire was just fucking staggering to watch. It was a thing of fucking beauty. You know what I mean? And Jake Busey. We all love Jake Busey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Creepy little fuck that he is.
Now.
And that was for the what is it? The fucking El Rey network that
Rodriguez
actually started.
Yep.
Which is just Curl. It's all Curl.
I think it was his premiering series, I think.
Yeah, he wanted new fucking content for it. So he thought, fuck it, I'll just make my own, goddammit.
Fuck it.
Fuck
it. It fucking worked.
And then, of course, you've got, Gotham, The Flash, and Constantine.
Yep.
With a big fucking comic book fucking adaptations to come out this year that really sort of fucking...
And season two, Arrow. No, season three, Arrow, sorry.
Season three, fuck. You got Arrow. And shit.
Oh, don't shit on Arrow.
I'm gonna shit on Arrow, just but
get past Steve Amell's fucking statueness.
You know, but fucking by far, I think one of them is probably Constantine. To be honest with you, I just
look that is not getting enough hype or credit that's due.
No, it isn't. I mean, but I know
for them to not ask for an extra run of episodes at the end of the series is really shit.
Yeah,
and disappointing.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know there's been a bit of fucking... Matt Ryan's copped a bit of flack for his portrayal, mainly because he plays it a bit more serious and straighter than what the character really calls for, maybe, but...
But not all the time, though. I reckon he plays it down to a T. Like, they wanted a very sarcastic, fucking real Liverpoolian... Sorry to destroy that name.
Liverpoolian.
But he's got the fucking accent, he's got the way he talks, he's got his fucking sarcastic.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck, I love it, man.
He plays it down to a T, and as far as I'm concerned, it's not getting enough credit.
I love his fucking betrayal, and I do love it, man. I love the betrayal.
And the CG, the fucking storyline, I'm loving it.
And fucking Papa Midnight is just fucking awesome,
man. So fucking well.
I'm fucking loving it. Gotham's another one. It's really fucking hit its fucking stride. It's really going
Donald
good.
Donald Logue and Ben McKenzie were born to be partners.
Oh, God, yes. And fucking Robin Lord Taylor has just fucking stolen that show from every cunt on it.
Oh,
my God. That cunt, the way he plays the Penguin is just fucking beautiful. You know what I mean?
Little fuck he is.
Yeah, and I honestly think he would have made a fucking perfect Joker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look, better than fucking Jared Leto's going to do.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, well, I suppose
Jared Leto, the little emo fuck he is, but might pull it off.
Yeah, no, Robert Lord Taylor, man, holy he's Christ!
Just to be honest, he's got big shoes to fill with fucking Heath Ledger.
Leto, whatever the fuck he calls it.
Jared Leto, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I mean, we got to move on. People fucking do that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But yeah, no, so that was absolutely amazing. Sean Pertwee's portrayal as Alfred. I really like the take they've done with Alfred. You know what I mean? Like, he's a bit harder. He's a bit fucking tougher. He's a bit sort of, you know, oi, cunt, get the fuck off the reef.
More of a Cockney kind of accent.
Yeah, there's a bit more of an edge to it, which makes, you know, he's this fucking shit with him, you know.
Not just a butler, but a figure for Wayne.
An actual role model of fucking on how to be and shit instead of just, yes, Master Bruce. So,
you'd like me to wipe your nose, Master.
You know, and The Flash fucking was a bit of a fucking surprise for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's his name? Grant
Gustin, yep.
Is shocked to shit because he's gone from Glee.
Oh, yeah.
To fucking Barry Allen, and he's doing so good. And Jesse L. Martin just fucking playing the cop like he's done for the past 20 odd fucking years is just amazing. You know what I mean? Like, they've done really good things with that show. And, you know, like, for all the problems Smallville had,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I loved Smallville. which is why I had such high hopes for fucking Arrow, because it's all CW.
Yeah.
And I think that's why CW was such a fucking... Arrow was such a letdown.
Yeah.
But in saying that, The Flash is redeemed.
Yeah, definitely.
Their take on fucking comic
Did you watch
heroes.
The crossover?
Not yet.
Neither do I.
Not yet. I've got it sitting there. I've got to catch up because I watched that one with the kids. It's one the whole family sits down and fucking watches.
One for the whole family.
And it's funny too because the little man fucking... every fucking episode after it's done, he will spend 45 minutes being The Flash.
Yep. Same as my fucking 3-year-old.
Fucking skimming around a fucking house going, I'm The Flash! And then fucking skidding door stop. He's like, see? See how quick I stop? Because I'm The Flash.
Look how fast I can run. And they run in the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it still doesn't beat my oldest daughter. Not long after we watched, I don't know, it was some animated DC movie.
Yep.
She would run around going, I can fly! You know, hands out in front and shit like that. And she used to jump off the fucking, because we had steps into our fucking den.
Yeah.
So she used to jump off the steps. No. This is going back a few years ago. She called out to me and her mother.
Yeah.
She goes, look, I can fly down the fucking concrete fucking hallway with a lino on it. Held the hands out like, oh yeah, she's going to run. Nope. Perfect fucking swallow dive straight onto the concrete. Couldn't figure out why the fuck it hurt so much. Fuck, it was funny.
Maybe because it's concrete.
Yeah, no, she did. It was just out of nowhere. She's like, look, Mum, I can fly. And just fucking launched herself flat out. Perfect fucking swallow dive. Crunch.
Poor girl.
Couldn't even fucking muster enough. Couldn't even get myself under control to fucking console her. I just laughed. Laughed and a motherfucking laughed. And oh, mate.
You lolled like a motherfucker.
I ruffled. So, any other TV series that really sort of jumped out at you this year?
Nah, none that I can think of off the top of my head. They all were pretty well.
They did. Let's talk about a bit of music that came out this year.
A bit of music.
So one that's only just come out was Pink Floyd recently released a CD.
See, I didn't know that.
Which we haven't talked about on the podcast yet, and I don't have any of it on me, so I can't sort of play any for you now. But it's basically an instrumental album. Some songs that are old, a couple that are new. It's called The Endless River, and it is just, it's quite good to listen to, actually. I've sat down and put it on while I'm doing the housework a few times.
Yep.
And you're probably going to see it in the podcast a fair bit next year, because it's, like I said, it's all instrumental. It's all nice, sort of laid back, sort of fucking tripped out fucking music that they do, and they do so well.
Yeah.
So, you know.
As Pink Floyd does.
It's definitely worth the fucking mention. The Black Keys album that they released this year, Turn Blue, was probably one of my favorite fucking albums of the goddamn year.
Really?
Yeah, man. I'm a Black Keys fan to start with.
Yeah.
But what they did with Turn Blue was just phenomenal. Like, I just loved it, man. It's fucking... I love all their music, but this is by far the best album they've put out, in my humble fucking opinion.
Yep.
Absolutely wonderful, man. Turn Blue itself, like the single off that fucking track, is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous to listen to.
Jack Black's new album?
I didn't know he had a new album.
No, not Jack Black. Fucking Jack White, sorry.
Jack, Lazaretto.
Yep.
It was actually worth a good fucking listen to.
Yep.
Some of his music can be hit and miss sometimes, but I fucking absolutely love this fucking album. You know, his braggadocio fucking track, you know, Lazaretto, was fucking just toe-tapping, head fucking swinging sort of fucking track. And friggin', Black Cat Licorice was another one that was just fucking amazing. And the story behind that album... Is worth fucking looking into, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of it based on poems and fucking plays and shit that he wrote as a fucking child.
Yeah.
That he just found in a fucking, just happened to find in a friggin' fucking attic there. One day he's like, yeah, fuck it, all right.
Fuck it. Let's turn this into a CD.
And the album he actually fucking released, you know, with the holographic fucking bullshit on it.
Yeah.
Was fucking, you know, rather new and exciting too. And it's also... a bit of a departure for his music, because he's always been an analog man. This was recorded mostly on and with digital fucking equipment and software.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's a big fucking difference from what he normally does. But still definitely worth having a fucking look at. Look, we'd be remiss with if we didn't mention fucking Weird Al Yankovic's album.
Yeah.
First comedy album, sorry, to hit number one in the fucking Billboard charts. It was fucking hilarious, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I sort of went off Weird Al for a while there, for a few years there, because
yeah,
his last couple of albums...
lost his grip on shit.
Well, they just weren't that good. Let's be honest. They weren't that good, you know what I mean? It was a bit cool little shtick during the 90s, but it was like, okay, cunt, we've got the point. You change words to songs and you like the polka. Fair enough. Cool. But this just blew me away with how good it was.
Mm.
Absolutely fucking amazing.
Yeah, and it was definitely redeemable.
It was definitely redeemable, you know, and some of the standout tracks, you know, like Now This Is What I Call a Polka, which is basically just a 7 to 8 minute mashup of all the popular songs sung as a polka, was just fuck. It's good for a giggle and it's damn fucking catchy once it's in your head.
Oh, yeah.
And it gave me an appreciation for fucking Royals, because I didn't really like that song, but
my Lord.
Aluminum Foil is just fucking great. You know, and there's a couple of songs on there that I fucking hate the fucking tracks that they're based on.
But you love what
they
did.
Well, I love what they did with it, because it's not that the fucking music itself was shit. It was
the lyrics
and the cunts who were singing it that annoyed the fuck out of me. You know what I mean? Like that Iggy Azalea song, fucking just, she needs to get a fucking grip on herself, I think. But his fucking take on it was just amazing. And I can play that fucking music without being embarrassed and kind of ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
Which is always good.
But you know what? The number one standout, and you know what it is?
Oh, yes, I do.
The Beards.
The Beards' new album, titled, appropriately enough,
The Beards.
The Beard Album. And it came packaged in a nice little bearded fucking CD cover. You know, and it launched off. It actually gave us a chance to go see them live.
Yeah, we went and saw them live at T-Wound Bar at the Spotted Cow.
Yeah, because they did a massive fucking tour, and they still
are doing a massive tour
in the middle of
overseas.
European tour at the moment. Look, it is by far their best fucking album to date, bar fucking none. Like, I've liked their music for a while, as you can probably tell by the theme song that we've got at the moment. But like, it is an absolutely great fucking album from fucking start to finish.
Yeah,
with some fucking memorable fucking tracks on there, and you know, you really can't go wrong with the fucking Beards. Hang on. What have I got here? What have I got here? What have I got here? Not the secret track. We don't want that one. And of course, which was quite appropriate, I thought. And it was nice to see. Ladies, raise your hands! And you can't help but fucking shake your head and fucking bob up and down. You know, which is just fucking, which is what you want in a fucking CD. You know what I mean? You want music where you can't help but fucking tape your head and fucking boogie on along whenever it fucking comes
it's
on.
It's definitely one that you don't want to, you can't be embarrassed by either.
No, and I'm telling you right now, as far as fucking live experience goes,
oh yeah,
you cannot get fucking better. Yeah. You know what I mean? Their fucking energy and their presence on stage.
And even their crowd involvement.
Is just beautiful, you know what I mean? Like, you cannot help but get sucked up in the fucking energy of fucking Johan.
Johan Bidraven.
Johan Bidraven. You know what I mean? Like, these cunts know what they're doing with their music. They fucking, they know their subject matter quite well.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, just their sheer energy on fucking stage and how fucking excited they can get a crowd is just amazing. Mm. Like, it is by far one of the best fucking performance acts I've ever fucking seen, live or otherwise.
Yeah, second to none.
Second to fucking none. And they were so gracious to fucking listen to my drunk ass while I fucking shat on their manager. Because, you know, I asked them, oh, man. Because, you know, I thought, fuck it, while I've got them, because we've been using their fucking music as our theme for about 3 or 4 months at this stage.
Yeah.
And I was kind of feeling bad, you know, because it's always nice to get permission, you know, saves lawsuits and just bad feelings in general. So I tried to get a hold of their manager before we started the podcast, and the bitch just fucking froze me. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to do it anyway. And then when I finally fucking went and seen them live, you know, because they do hang around after the show, you know, and fucking
sign everything and
sign autographs and fucking take photos and talk to the fucking fans and shit. So good old Drunkle Dan, living up to his name, turned up pissed as a newt and got fucking permission. He's like, I'm going to tell you another thing. I tried to do this the right way and ask your manager if I could use your music. Your manager's a cunt.
Pretty well in those exact words.
And I got a bit of a funny look, but I pushed on because fuck you, I'm drunk. You know, so I'm going to, fuck it, I'll just ask you, can I use your music in my podcast? And I don't know whether they took pity on me, whether they thought I'd forget, or whether they truly were behind the cause, but they're like, yeah, sure, do whatever the fuck you want, buddy. Like, awesome. Can I get a photo now, please? So, you know, a massive fucking shout out to the Beards. You know, they do our theme song. I love their fucking music.
They're definitely a huge inspiration for the origin of the podcast, too.
Oh, yes. Fucking by far, you know what I mean? So, you know, that wraps up our fucking music portion of the show. And in fact, I'm quite happy to leave that as our look back in general, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a few books there that come out this year that I wouldn't mind talking about, but it'd be like having a one-sided conversation, so.
Oh, well, that conversation we had at the start of the podcast wasn't that bad.
Yeah. But I mean, like, we are running fucking short on time, I think, so.
Yeah.
Moving right along, let's talk about what's coming up next fucking year.
What's coming up next year?
We have got some exciting fucking things on the fucking horizons for not only the Drunken Beersman, but RVSR Media in fucking general. As of next year, we are releasing an extra fucking podcast.
Not just that, we're splitting the one we're doing now. We're going to turn both into a fortnightly podcast. This one's going to stay the Drunken Beersman. What we're going to focus on is beards and booze.
Yeah, we found this year that we're trying to cram too much stuff into the hour and a half that we sort of try and keep the podcast to. And yep. Everybody's suffering for it. So we decided, fuck it, the Drunken Beersman is just going to be...
Not necessarily suffering, but it's yeah, we're just going to pigeonhole ourselves.
We're going to niche ourselves up just a little bit. So the Drunken Beersman from here on out is going to be pure beard and booze-related topics. We've got some exciting fucking new segments. We've got coming up on the horizons. We're going to start doing Beards in Focus, brother.
Yeah, Beards in Focus. We're going to take someone's story of beardom and release it upon the world, no matter how theatrical or non it is. We're just going to appreciate everyone's beard, really.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So if you've got a beard and you want to share your story, you know, why don't you send us an email at mailbag@thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, of course, which is @drunkbeardsman or @unofficial_JD or even @thedrunkledan. So, you know, that's one of the segments we've got. We're also going to do a bit of a history lesson on beards called Beards Through History, which is where we're going to take a bit of a look back through different periods in history and the way beards were important, significant, or just what was going on with the beard.
Or the style as well.
Yeah.
The style for that time frame.
The style for that time frame. That's exactly fucking right. We're also going to be, as I think I mentioned earlier, we're going to be updating our booze reviews just a little bit. We're going to change up the format. Booze reviews are still going to stay there for sure. We're just going to update the format a little bit and make it a little bit more easier to follow along and a bit more palatable and a little bit more quantifiable.
Pretty well.
As to how we get our ratings, because a lot of thought goes in, but not a lot of explanations sometimes.
No.
So that's definitely something we are definitely going to fucking be changing up as well.
We'll be probably introducing a YouTube video once in a while called Chemistry Class. We're going to focus on a certain cocktail or concoction that is a little bit different, that kind of sparks curiosity.
Basically a mixology fucking series.
Basically.
On different cocktails and drinks that you can find and make at home. We've also got a couple of drunkumentaries on the fucking, on the cards for next year. We're going to start one of them called Around the World in 80 Beards.
Beers.
Around the World in 80 Beers. What the fuck have I got beers
Around the
brain.
World in 80 Beers. Basically, we're going to choose 80 different countries, get the, I'll try and grab ourselves a sample of the, probably the number one craft beer of that place.
From around the world. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to pick a beer from every country in the world. It's probably going to be more than 80 beers, but we don't give a fuck because it sounds cool.
Yeah.
And just sort of compare and look at the different styles of beer and the different tastes of all our fucking brothers and sisters from around the fucking world. We might even get a couple of experts in to help us fucking sift through the murky and beautiful multi-hoppy fucking world of beers. And we've also got another fucking drunkumentary. I don't know how we're going to do this one just yet, but we're going to do a search for the holy fucking ale.
I think the search for the holy ale is going to be more Australian focused.
Maybe.
Well, who knows? We could do each country. I don't know. If we get big enough.
Just going to find
sponsorship.
The best fucking ale we can find.
That's right.
So that's search for the holy fucking ale.
I think the search for the holy ale will do one once in a while. And at the end of the year, we'll get together and decide which one we thought was the best.
Yeah.
The holy ale.
The holy ale, so to speak.
For that season.
And we're also going to start diving into the fucking very broad fucking world now of beard products.
Yep.
So as you probably know, if you are a bearded gent, there is
or a bearded lady.
Fucking plethora of beard oils, beard fucking balms, mustache waxes, combs, product. all this lotions, washes. We are going to fucking try and help while we learn to friggin' navigate what these products are, what they mean, how they help, how they work, and hopefully try and find some of the better ones out there. So we don't pretend to be experts on this subject by any stretch of the imagination. We're going to be learning along with you.
Pretty much, yep.
So that's basically sort of some of the main things we've got heading up on the Drunken Beersman podcast itself, coming up in 2015. But like I said, we've also got a new podcast starting up next year.
Yep, all the other content that we featured this year on the Drunken Beersman, we're going to push off onto a separate podcast called Not Another Geek Podcast.
NAG in, for short.
NAG Pod for short. But in this one particular, we're going to have Mitch from Ghost of Start Gaming.
Yes,
come
we're
going to episode. He's going to be a regular.
Yes, we're going to add a third chair to the Drunken, well, the R vs R family, I suppose you could call it. And that's where we're going to talk about, you know, all your movies and music and fucking
games
and shit like that.
TV series, there's manga, comics, not necessarily novels in particular.
Or your sort of geek and nerd sort of culture stuff that we try to cram in with all the beard and booze
pretty
news
much,
that we just
pretty much
don't
the name
have time
it implies
for.
It.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Not Another Geek Podcast is pretty self-fucking explanatory, yep. I'm pretty sure.
We're going to have some debates, we're going to have some discussions, we're going to have some quizzes.
Yes, there's going to be lots of quizzes and trivia and debates and competitions going on that one. So definitely fucking keep an eye on the iTunes feed, on the iTunes, and also on the Twitter feed and the website for more information on that one as it fucking develops. And then I'm starting my own podcast because fuck y'all.
Well, being the fucking novel nerd and reading boss that you are, no one can ever keep up with the amount of fucking reading you do.
Nice.
Nor the novels you go through each week. So we've decided to give you your own little piece of RSS feed.
Yes, my own little side project. It's going to be called The Novel Nerd because, let's face it, I'm a novel nerd. And with the amount of, especially indie authors, I'm discovering the world of indie authors, man, is growing all the fucking time.
Oh, it's
and it's such a fucking great community to be a part of. I've noticed. I've had quite a few dialogues with most of the indie authors that I've featured on the show this year, and it is an amazing fucking community. It is an amazingly supportive community, and it's one that I'd like to give a bit of a highlight to. So it's going to be a weekly podcast. It's not going to be long. It's probably going to be about 10-15 minutes a week, just covering one novel at a time, you know, with maybe an author spotlight every now and then, or a genre spotlight even every now and then. But it's going to be fucking coming out sometime next year, early next year, if I can fucking pull my finger out of my ass and get it into gear. So, you know, a couple of big things coming next year. We're going to keep splitting it. Best way to keep abreast of all these things, if you don't want to keep checking iTunes and what have you, is hit up the website. The website being
www.thedrunkenbeersman.com.
Yeah, definitely fucking go there. We're going to, you know, don't know whether each podcast is going to have its own website just yet, but we're certainly going to have a space somewhere to fucking put all this content online.
Well, at this point in time, most of our what would you call it? Our activity is on Twitter at the moment. It's at Drunk Beardsman and at NagPod. If you want to head over there, they're going to be our two Twitter feeds for the podcast. And I dare say you'll probably make one for Novel Nerd. No.
Nope.
No.
Because it's just me. If you want to keep abreast of the novel nerd goodness and all the indie shit I'll be reading and also all the mainstream sort of bigger authors I'll be reading, may as well go ahead and follow me at The Drunkle Dan on the Twitter, because I'm not going to create a separate fucking feed because three's enough. God damn it. So, you know, it's all very fucking exciting what's coming up this year, or coming up the next year, but unfortunately we need some time to really sort of hammer home the final details and get the infrastructure set up. So to that end, this is going to be the last show for the fucking year. We're going to come back sometime early January, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back fucking all four fucking motors raring and running and ready to fucking go. So I'm going to take this opportunity to say Merry Christmas to all you lovely, beautiful, bearded, non-bearded people out there.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, safe holidays.
Happy New Year. Don't drink too much. Well, not a...
If you do, get someone to fucking drive that's sober.
If you can't be good at it. That's what I always like to say. So, until next year, I am Drunkle Dan.
I am JD.
And we are the Drunken Beardsmen. And remember,
stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Cheers.
Just close your eyes and touch me in
and the Beard.
It won't bite. You and my beard are gonna have a really nice time.
My beard,
it's waiting for you. And girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find.
You don't have to be scared.
Just touch it, baby, yeah.
All my facial hair.
Just put your hand right there.
There's magic in the air.
And darling, yeah, you really want to clutch it for reasons you can't understand. You want it so much, so baby, just reach out your hand.
And touch, touch me in the beard. Go ahead and touch, touch me in the beard. I want you to hold it, stroke it. Put your head inside and say goodbye to all your fears.
Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeersman.com, where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast.
Tingles up and down your spine. Tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true. So do I, do I love?